for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the ladies' conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Carol Canada is the speaker of the morning from Phoenix, Arizona. This is the final service.
As white as snow. sing it. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes white hands so.
Praise the name of Jesus. We've had a wonderful time this weekend, and I know it's been kind of long, the hours and everything, but God has a way of refreshing us, doesn't He? I remember one retreat I went to, and I didn't minister, I just went to receive, and after like Saturday night, I said, oh, I don't think I can take anymore. I was so full and tired, and yet I was full of the Lord, you know, and I said, and I began to pray, God, broaden me and expand me that I could receive more. And He did, and even this Sunday morning was even better than the services before. But I want to share with you this morning a message that really is my testimony. And I want to talk to you about from wimps to warriors. How many of you know that we need to leave this place this weekend and we need to seize the moment? Amen? That's what the Lord spoke to us, that word, seize the moment this year. Every opportunity we have for the gospel to go forth and to just share the love of God. Not so much preach to people, but to extend a loving hand to people. I was recently, before I came, I got my nails done, and I went to a new shop I'd never been before, and I felt the Lord had directed me there. And when I walked in, there was a precious young girl there who was married and had two children. And when I sat down, she began just to tell me about everything, every heartache and all the problems she was going through. Have you ever had that happen to you? Like, you know, she knew me forever, and I was like a counselor, and she was just pouring it out, and I was listening to everything. And she didn't know me. She didn't even know I was a minister at that time. And so when she finished, she was telling me how her father and her stepmother owned the shop, several shops in the valley and a Phoenix, and how they had mistreated her and her brother, and went on and on and on and on. And finally I looked at her when she was finishing up, and I said, you know, if you forgive them, God will deal with them. But you have to forgive them, because this unforgiveness, and I told her about Matthew 18, where if we refuse to forgive, we're turned over to the tormentors. And she said, oh, you know, you're right. My mother raised me in a church, a Baptist church, and she said, it's been years since I've been to church. And so it was like a Gomer bringing her back to her remembrance of being raised in a church and loving Jesus. And I was able to pray with her that day, and I went back this last week before I came, and her grandmother was there, who was 86 years old, and she was there for the day to spend with her, and she was having a little pedicure and stuff, and she would rattle. She reminded me of my great-grandmother, and she'd just talk and rattle, and I was listening, and I was real, and you know, I love elderly people. I respect them, and I honor them, and just the years of experience, to me, it's worth listening to them, and she began to cry after about 2 minutes talking to me, and she began to weep and cry about how she had, her son had died years ago, and she'd left her home in Kansas, and she began to weep and cry. I said, oh, honey, you've got grief in you, don't you? And she said, I guess I do. And so she went on and cried, and I said, oh, Lord, what do you want me to do here? And so before I left, and I sat down, and I said, little Jennifer was the one who did my nails, and I said, Jennifer, I want you to come over here by your grandmother. I want you to put your arms around her. And I said, can I pray for you, Granny? And she said, yes, yes, yes. And when I went over to her, she just grabbed my face like she was starving. And she grabbed me and grabbed my face. She said, yes, pray for me. And she began to weep and cry. And I asked the Lord to take that grief out of her and the heartache of life. And I asked the Lord to fill her again with His love. And I said, Lord, she's missed Your love. I know she has. And as I began to pray, she wept and cried. And I told him about the church we were going to start in a couple of weeks. And when I was walking out, she said, I want to join your church. Can I be a member? And I said, well, I guess so. You can be our first member, you know. But seizing the moment. People that you work with, just, you know, sometimes you seize the moment by listening. Just by looking them in the eyes with eyes of compassion and say, I care. Or saying, I'm going to pray for you. And Sometimes we say that and walk away and forget. Sometimes we need to say, can I pray for you now? And just a little prayer of love will change a person's life course. Amen? Seizing the moment. So I'm believing all that we received here this weekend, that we're going to be able to leave it out of this place, and we're going to go from being wimps, as Christian wimps, to warriors for God. Amen? And that's the desire of my heart, because if anyone was ever a wimp in the body of Christ, it was me. I was probably the best wimp that, if you want to call it that, that's kind of an oxymoron too, best wimp. But I did it well. I did the role well. And, you know, it says in Daniel, I think it's the 7th chapter of Daniel 25, it says in the last days that the Antichrist spirit will speak blasphemies against God and shall wear out or wear down the saints of the Most High in purpose or hope to change times and laws. And after doing a study of that verse, because I've seen such weariness and tiredness and fear and worry upon God's saints, and really the real meaning of that is the Antichrist in the last days will speak blasphemies and will wear out the saints, and it means to bring mental fatigue, to wear out into exhaustion fatigue. How many of you know we're in a day that people are suffering so much from anxiety attacks and counseling? If you're a counselor, you're making some big money. Because the Christians are going to counselors and psychiatrists because they don't know, again, how to get to altars. And then the devil, he will wear you out mentally. He'll bring fatigue. And that's the spirit of the age that we're living in, the Antichrist power. And it goes on, it says he will try and hope to change times and laws. And that means to bring change to moral structure or instruction. And we're living in a day where you don't hear anything talked about conscience. You don't ever hear anything of politicians or anything, all the things that are going on in Washington. Nobody talks about conscience because if they're into a place that whatever the situation is, what is it called? Situational ethics. Whatever is good to you at the moment is fine. In other words, there's no conscience of good or bad. And it says in the last days they're going to call good evil and evil good. And we're seeing that in our lifetime, aren't we? I mean, we're seeing even the leaders of our country that refuse to stand up and speak truth and bring back into the line of these people that have gone astray and trying to bring destruction upon our land. And I know in my heart that God is raising up warriors in this hour that will be a standard, even women like us. We can be a standard in the Spirit. We can be a standard in our church by not even saying a word. You know, there's a call of God upon every one of us. There's giftings. But we don't have to make room for our giftings. Our giftings, the Word says in Proverbs, will make room for us. We don't need to go and try and make things happen. We don't need to go and demand a Sunday school class or teach a women's group or sing a song. We need to be humble before the Lord and allow Him to open those doors and let them come and ask. When God called me, in 1983, He said, I don't want you to ever be aggressive and try and seek a place to preach or minister. Well, at that time, I didn't even witness. You know, I was so fearful. I mean, I really didn't understand what God was saying. But He said, I want you to wait and be asked. In other words, have a meek spirit. And I've tried to do that. I've tried not to push my way in and make things happen for myself. How many know that's obnoxious to a lot of people? Not only to women, but it's also obnoxious to the men and leadership of our churches. And that's why the Jezebel spirit is so taught in these days. You know, I personally feel we all have control in us. Now, some of us control a little bit of area of our life, and some of us are big-time controllers. But I'm here to tell you the Word of God says it's witchcraft, because rebellion has the sin of witchcraft. And Jack was a controller in our marriage. He controlled out of his anger, and he would intimidate me, and he would hurt me and wound me and shut me down. But I saw later in my marriage that I would control in a little different area. I would control out of my fears. And I would control maybe the checkbook. Or I would manipulate him, like making him feel guilty when he'd spend too much money. He got to a point where he would come to me for an allowance. Isn't that pitiful? I mean, you think about it now, but it was pitiful, wasn't it, Jack? But that was a... Huh? But that was a manipulation that I did on him. I mean, I believe in my heart, I have a teaching on control, but I believe in my heart we all control. If we were honest before God and stand open before him, that we all have areas that we control in our families, whether it's with our children or whether it's whatever. We're trying to control their lives. You know, God is dealing heavy with that spirit in this hour. We're going to have to lay that down at the feet of Jesus, or I'm telling you, bad times are going to come. Because where there's control, the Spirit of God is grieved out. Where there's controlling leadership in a church, the Spirit of God is grieved out of the church. And it becomes religious. Amen? And so we've got to allow those things to come off of us and deal with us. Or that God can deal with us in His own way. Amen. I love to read about the Apostle Paul. To me, he was a hero in the New Testament, especially when you know what he went through to write the Gospels and to live for Jesus in that time. But I read something recently and I wrote it out, and it says Paul was a godly influence wherever he went. Many were ashamed of Paul in his chains. His life had been one of suffering and labor for Christ. Now, from all appearances, he was abandoned by his friends and in the hands of ruthless men. And this is reading or taking from the second chapter of Timothy, which was his last will and testament that he wrote before he died. He was a prisoner in chains, yet he was triumphant over all and unshaken in his faith. He felt no evil and feared no man or no devil. Sin had lost its power, death its sting, and the grave its victory, and hell its torment. No murmuring came from his lips or bitterness from his heart. He was a man's man and God's faithful servant. He was ready to die for the cause of Christ and the cause of the gospel. He overcame being forsaken. He overcame opposition from people rejecting truth. He overcame the fear of death, loneliness, and confinement in prisons. Paul had to stand before Nero, who was the Roman ruler at that time. He was a homosexual schizophrenic maniac, a man so demon-possessed that he would dip Christians into hot tar, and while they were still alive, he would put them up in his garden and light them for a torch in his garden to light them at night. Paul says, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Nero would come by day after day and he would taunt Paul. And he'd say, Paul, if you don't deny this Jesus, we're going to feed you to the lions out there. But Paul held steady. He didn't waver in his faith. He endured the trials of life and he was not intimidated. I can hear him say to Timothy, Timothy, we can make it. We can win this race and we can finish this course. With God, all things are possible. The apostles wrote the Gospels after the flesh. They saw Jesus in his humanity, the crown of thorns. They saw a broken, bruised body with blood flowing down the crown of his head. They saw Jesus after the flesh. But Paul was caught up in the third heaven and given revelation of Jesus. He wrote 75% of the New Testament, and he repeatedly wrote in Galatians, my gospel, not given to me in a seminary or by man, but by the Holy Ghost in revelation knowledge. And he wrote about Jesus after the Spirit. Paul saw powers and principalities crushed under the feet of Jesus. He saw what Jesus came to do on that cross. He saw him in all his glory sitting at the right hand of the Father as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He saw him as the commander-in-chief of all armies, as the victorious champion. He wrote in Ephesians 5 about a bride being prepared from the foundations of the world, a glorious church that he might present unto himself, a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. This bride shall be holy and without blemish. Oh, hallelujah. Didn't that stir a fire within you? Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's a familiar verse to any of us who've been a Christian more than a year, I'm sure. But it's been my guideline in many crucial times in my life, that where the devil has come and pressed me and tried to bring fear into my heart, and has done so many times. 2 Timothy chapter 2. As I said, Paul was in a Roman jail. He was at the end of his life, and he knew that he was going to die at the hand of Nero. And Timothy was a young man who he knew from when Timothy was a little boy. Timothy lived with his mother and his grandmother and obviously had a father, but his father was a heathen. He was a Gentile. He didn't believe in the Lord God of Israel. And Paul, on his first missionary journey, met Timothy and his grandmother and his mother. And he introduced Timothy to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Timothy accepted him. He became a spiritual father to Timothy, and he became a spiritual father to many. But Timothy was raised up under Paul. He nurtured him. He mentored him. He poured into him. He spoke life into him. He stirred up and imparted gifts to him. And here, at the time of the writing of 2 Timothy, there was great persecution on the church. The church was going underground to hide themselves from Nero and the Roman army. And they were showing signs of fear and defeat. And they were shrinking back from the call of God. And Timothy also had to have been doing the same thing. Some commentaries say that he was pastoring a large church during this time of the writing of 2 Timothy. And so Paul was writing his last will and testament to his beloved spiritual son, Timothy. Now, when I realized that this was the last writing of Timothy, or of Paul, and he knew it, then when I began to read 2 Timothy, it became a new book to me. Here was a man knowing his days were numbered, he was going to die, and he was going to write a letter to someone he loved to encourage him in the days ahead. And it's a wonderful book. In 2 Timothy, he's talking about being a good soldier for God. And not to be entangled into himself in the affairs of everyday life, but to focus on the call of God. He talked to him about being an athlete in the kingdom of God, about being a good farmer. And he talked to him about all kinds of things. He even talked to him about being a vessel of honor, Shirley, as you read yesterday in your teaching, about being a vessel of honor, if people would cleanse themselves of sin. But it says in 2 Timothy, Paul says to Timothy in verse 5, he said, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." Verse 6, "And for this reason I remind you to stir afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear or of timidity, but a power of love and of a sound mind or discipline." Now, I began to do a little study of this because when I read that, I said, oh my goodness, fear can quench the gift of God within us. And then I did a word study on that gift. You know what the gift means in the Greek? It means a fire. He said, stir afresh the fire of God that is within you. And you know, I was thinking about a fire in a fireplace. If any of you have fireplaces out here, if you have a nice fire and you don't tend to that fire over a period of time, what happens to that fire? It begins to go out and smolder, doesn't it? And by the morning, it's usually all gone. And that's what he was using that word as an example to Timothy of the gift of God that's within you and me. Stir afresh the fire. Rekindle the fire and add fresh fuel to that fire that's within you. Because God's not given you the spirit of timidity or of a coward or of someone. The real meaning of that spirit of fear means a coward, disgraceful, timid, lacking courage, lacking boldness, and lacking determination. Isn't that something what a little word would mean? And so how do we add fresh fuel to our fire? By prayer, and by reading the Word, by hearing the Word of God. And sometimes we just got to get radical and say, I stir up that fire of God within me. I stir up the gift of God within me. I add fresh fuel to that fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And I began to see how fear in our lives, or timidity in our lives, will put out the fire of God within us. And that's what he was telling him. He said, God has not given you the spirit of that fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen? We're living in a new era, a crossroads for the church, and for a time for change. Not only for the church as a whole, but for you individually and for me individually. When we cease to change, we embrace death. Did you know that? Whether in a business, whether in a marriage, whether in a church or an individual's life, we must continue to change, being transformed into the image of Christ, or we will die. God is healing His people and raising up a mighty army to fight the powers of darkness. God has a purpose and a destiny for you and for me. There is work going on in each one of our lives to become the people God would have us to be in order to fulfill God's plan. I remember hearing a story of Michelangelo, who was a great artist and a great sculptor, who painted the Sistine Chapel. And someone once asked him, "How do you take a square lump of marble and make such a beautiful image out of it?" And he says, "I take a hammer in one hand and a chisel in the other, and I begin to chisel away everything that doesn't belong, so that all that I have left is this beautiful image." How many of you have been under a chisel and hammer from the Holy Ghost? God is chiseling away every area of our life that we will become the image of Christ. And sometimes, like, it hurts. Like Shirley, what a wonderful illustration she taught yesterday morning in the potter's house, how it hurts. But he's chiseling away those things that don't belong. There is no more gray areas in our Christian walk. I mean, we've even heard that taught. Well, there's some gray areas that's not quite sin and not quite, you know. And I said, that's a lie. There is no more gray areas in our Christian walk. And we cannot compromise. We're either overcoming with God or we're being overcome against God. And I'm here to tell you, if you've been riding a fence and lukewarm, the Word of God says He'll spew you out of His mouth. And if you're riding a fence in your Christian walk, you're on the devil's territory. There's one thing that causes hell to tremble, and that's when one individual begins to cry out to God to know Him and to know who they are and their identity in Him. Prince Charles is not, I've heard rumors that he's not a real smart man. We know that he's not, he's kind of homely looking, and he's got a big nose. But you know what? He carries himself like a future king. He is confident because he knows who he is. He walks like royalty, he talks like royalty, and he thinks like royalty. Now, he's from a natural monarchy, but we're from a heavenly monarchy. We are kings and priests. And when we get a hold of that, no devil in hell will stand in your way. I'm here to tell you, I think our biggest problem is thinking, how could God love me? And the devil beats us over the head with guilt and condemnation. You know, I'm the type, if the devil comes with me and says, "Oh, look at you, this is happening because you did that." Well, I fall on my knees right there and I said, "God, I don't know if this is your Holy Spirit or the devil condemning me, but I repent of it right now. I have put the axe to the root. And if this is a sin that you're dealing with me, then I want to ask for forgiveness and let the blood of Jesus cleanse me." If people accuse me, I say, "God, there could be some truth to that." So I ask for forgiveness for my actions and my motives that could be impure. Let me know, in Jeremiah 17, it says, "The heart of man is wicked and deceitful. No man knows his own heart." And the only way you can know who you really are is by the Holy Ghost. We might think we know who we are. We're always a little bit better than we really are in our own little mind. But God can show us who we really are. And He'll do it with love. This weekend, hell has been nervous because Satan is losing its power. He's being exposed, and God is opening up the tomb doors of the past and letting us out in resurrection power. Why? Because we have a destiny. We have a destiny. I'm going to deal with this area of fear. It seems that fear can manifest in many ways in our lives. In my own life, I was full of worry and insecurity and timidity and shyness. I was inadequate. I was inferior. If I'd walk into a room like this with some women, I would always feel less than everyone else. No matter what I did, I never measured up in my own mind. My dad even had a pet name for me called Shorty Goose. And God began to show me how our name is a blessing. And even a name is really a destiny. And I did a little study on that, and I began to look up in the dictionary shorty goose, like shorty and goose. And you know what it means? It means less than, inadequate, and it means stupid. And I felt that even though it was a love name from my dad, a little cute name, I felt that way all my life. And when I was 31 years old, God began to deal with me in a mighty way. I had been sick. I'd had 9 major surgeries by the time I was 31. I'd had a total hysterectomy at the age of 21. I never had natural children. And I was sick all the time. I had like 4 major surgeries in 13 months trying to save my female organs, and they finally had to take everything out because I'd had a bad appendix that ruptured, and I had all kinds of infection from it. And that is what caused my hysterectomy. And the not having children, I was very fearful. I was very timid. I was very shy and bashful. Yet I thought that was my personality. And I remember Jack wrote a song, and he was the head of a large Sunday school that grew to be like 450 people at our church. And he would do the music and move out in the gifts and just exhortation, encouraging people. And I remember I always sit on the back row, and I kind of sold tapes or albums at that time because, I mean, I wasn't a part of his ministry. It was his ministry, and I would come along and help as I could. Many times I would go to him with him, and I would get a mile down the road, and I'd be so car sick that he'd have to pull off on the main road, and I'd throw up. And this went on for many, many years, the car sickness. In fact, 15 years. And the devil didn't want me to go, but the devil had me bound. And a lot of that problem was fear. And I remember we were going to Texas. Let me back up a little bit. We were going to Texas to see his sister, and we were in a pickup truck, and I had just gotten Pigs in the Parlor. And Jack had told me, "Now, Carol, we're going to go into deliverance ministry." And I didn't even know what that was. I said, "What in the world here? This is an Assembly of God girl." I said, "What in the world is that?" He said, "We're going to cast out demons out of Christians and people." And I said, "Jack, Christians can't have a demon. That's ridiculous." And he said, "You're going to see. Like, watch what God does." So we were driving down the road. It was like about a half a mile down the road, and I was car sick again. I was so sick. I said, "Jack, I'm so sick." He said, "Man, we've got a long way to go to Texas, Carol. What are we going to do?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't believe a Christian can have a devil. But if I do have one, then I want you to pray and get this thing out of me because I'm sick and tired of being sick." And he was driving that truck, and he reached over like that, and he said, "In the name of Jesus, I command that spirit of nausea to come out of you." And that thing, my eyes went like this. And that spirit rose up in my throat. My throat swelled out like this. I said, "Oh, I got a devil in me, Jack." And all I knew to do was plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. And it would kind of die down. I said, "Oh, it died down. Don't pray. Don't throw up. Don't do anything because that thing is in me." I was paralyzed with fear. And I said, "Oh, my God, I've got a devil. You can imagine someone so bound in fear having a devil. And that thing was like an elevator went zoom in my throat. And we'd go down the road a little bit, and it'd get bigger. And I'd plead the blood. And it would go down a little bit. We rode all the way to Texas. Yeah. In the Pigs in the Parlor manual. And so we went all the way to Texas. And we stopped and ate a little bit, and I was still nauseated, but I refused to throw up because I thought if I threw up, that means I still have this devil. And I was so confused. The devil was just playing all these games in me. And so when we drove up to his sister's house, I ran into her house, and I ran into her bathroom, and I threw up. And what I threw up was something that had was like a nest in my pit of my stomach that had housed these spirits. And the moment it came out of me, that sickness lifted off me. And I haven't been car sick since. And I was car sick for 15 years. Hallelujah! Praise God! Amen! So that began. God knew that I needed that manifestation to convince me that as a little Assembly of God girl that a Christian can't have a devil. And I had. And that wasn't all that I had. I was on a journey that, see, I had a lot more in me. Well, Jack, back to this Sunday school class. Jack was he was writing a lot of songs during that time, and he wrote this song on a Wednesday, and he would always sing them at the Sunday school class the next Sunday. And he wrote a song called Deliverance, and it tells, "Spirit of fear, walk away from me. In the name of Jesus, I've been set free." And he talks about the man in the tombs that was bound with chains. And then he goes on to say, "Legions of hell, walk away from me. In the name of Jesus, I've been set free." And so he was kind of writing that and singing it during the week, and I really didn't hear it completely until Sunday morning. Well, I always sit on the back row, but somehow all the chairs were taken except for the second row, second seat in. So I had to walk in front of all those people, breaking out in hives, and I'd sit, you know, so intimidated, so pitiful, wimpy. And I sat there, and he began to sing his praise and worship, and then he said, "The Lord gave me a song this week." And he began to sing that song. And as I sat there, I heard this audible voice behind me, this masculine voice, say, "Stand up and be set free." And it was so loud, I turned around to see who that man was behind me, and it was all women behind me. And immediately, I heard another voice on this side say, "Stand up and make a fool out of yourself. After all, your husband needs all the help he can get." It was a mockery. And I knew that had to have been the devil, and his voice was just as loud. And my heart started racing. You talk about a panic attack, anxiety attack. My heart started racing. I said, "My God, what do I do? What do I do?" And he began to sing it again. "Spirit of fear, walk away from me. In the name of Jesus, I've been set free." And I knew somehow I had to stand up. And as I closed my eyes so tight, because I didn't want to see anybody looking at me, and I began to stand up, and it was like I was coming against a 200-pound weight. And as I stood up like this, my hands went up in the air. And the moment I stood completely up, this heavy weight came off of me. It was like 150 pounds on my chest that I never knew I carried until the moment it lifted. I could breathe like 10 times better. I could breathe. Like it came off my throat, came off of my chest, came off of my back. And I began to pray and I began to cry and laugh at the same time. I didn't know what was happening to me. I didn't know what came off of me, but I knew I was light as a feather and I was praising God. That whole place went wild. I know other people were delivered just like I was. They probably didn't even know it because they didn't teach that. In fact, they preached against it at that church. And right in the midst of them, there was a deliverance. Isn't God good? And it was glorious. And I just kind of floated home. I said, "Oh, God's done something. Something's come out of me, and I don't know what it is." And I didn't know what it was. Now, how many of you know that your deliverance is always tested by the enemy? Because he always wants to come back after those spirits leave. So be aware of that. Be wise. When you leave this place, those spirits, they've been homing you for a long time, and they don't want to leave home. They want to come back. And so the next day was Monday, and I was by myself at home. I didn't work that day, and I began to do my routine. I turned on every television in the house, in the bedroom, in the living room, and I took my little TV in the bathroom because I realized I couldn't stand the silence. I had to have company. I had to have some kind of noise. And I drew my bath water, and then I went out and double-locked the front door and double-locked the back door, the Arcadia door. And so I went into the bathroom to take my bath. I locked the door there, and I was washing my hair with one eye open and one eye shut, you know. And all these things God was showing me, see, was a pattern of my life. And all of a sudden, I heard the noise across the roof. And this noise was like a bunch of, I call them reindeer, running across the roof. And it was like you could hear them so loud, the house shook. And, of course, this fear gripped me. And I said, "God, what is going on? I thought I was delivered of something yesterday." And then I heard the little noises in the vents like little munchkins. And I said, "Oh, my God," talking about panic attack again, anxiety attack. I said, "God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?" And then I heard someone come in the living room and slam the front door like that. And when they slammed the front door, yes, honey, I heard someone turn the channels in the television in the living room. And I said, "Oh, my God, what am I going to do?" At that point, I'd never prayed out loud. I'd never prayed for anybody except my little boy, my son, when I put him to bed. And something told me I had to get up out of that bathtub. And I got out of that tub and I put my robe on. And I began to reach for the door of the bathroom to unlock it. And I said out loud as I opened that door, I said, "Devil, you better hope that is a burglar out there, because if it's not, you are dead meat." And I opened that door and I walked into that hallway. Woo! And for the first time, I felt an anointing on me. The hairs of my body was thin. Like Jerry Seville said, the hair on my legs fell off. Whoa! I'm telling you, and I could see in the spirit, and it was dead silence, and I could see in the spirit these devils were up against the wall holding their breath. And I felt an anointing come on me, and I said, "Devil, you have bound me all of my life, and there is no way that you're going to come back and bind me again. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave me and leave this house." Those reindeer ran across the roof. I said, "Yeah, and you too. Get out of here in Jesus' name." And I began to walk. I went to the front room and opened the door as wide as I could. I opened the arcade door in the back room, and I got the broom. And I began to sweep them out. I said, "I command every devil and every evil spirit to leave this house. I command you to go." Probably the neighbors thought I had gone nuts. But you know, I didn't care. I had been bound all my life. And no way was I going to let the devil come back and get a hold of me again. I began to kick them out. I went into the bedrooms and into the clothes closets. I said, "You're in there. I know you are. Come out. I command you to come out. Every bedroom, every closet. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I command you to let go of my husband. Let go of my son. I command you to leave this house and never to return." And when it was all over, I thought, "What in the world happened to me?" But you know what happened? A warring spirit was birthed in me. Oh, glory to God that I never had before. Hallelujah. And I've been chasing devils and kicking them out of houses and out of people ever since. But I'm here to tell you that we're in a battle for our very lives. And we've got to get a hold of who we are in God. And it might be the hardest step you ever take to get delivered of fear. But once you do, that power and chain will be broken. And you'll come into a new realm and purpose of God you've never known before. And I didn't have to tell anybody. People saw it. They saw a difference in me. I couldn't help it. It was like a river had been burst inside of me. There was a boldness. There was a vision. There was dreams. The word of God came alive. Everything in me, from every cell in me, was alive. And I'm here to tell you, I know that the devil lost a good prisoner that day, because I don't know yet who I am, but I know one thing: I'm on my way, and God is unfolding things, and He wants to set you ladies free, because there's nothing like a woman who's a warrior for God, an intercessor for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise the holy name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many are ready to be set free from fear? Stand to your feet. Let's pray. Let's don't wait a minute. Our Holy Ghost is here to set you free. If you've got worry and fear of failure and fear of rejection and fear of being abandoned, all those things, God wants to set you free from it. Because Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord. We're going to war this morning. And I mean, lift up, roll up your spiritual sleeve. Let's get your stomping shoes. And I want you to say, "Devil, I've had enough. You have bound me with intimidation and fear all my life. I've had enough. I'm going to be set free." Father, in Jesus' name, cleanse that fear. Tentacle of fear with the blood of Jesus. Redeem me from the power of the enemy. I ask you, Lord, to break the chains off of me, to deliver me from fear. I command the fear in me to come out of me. Come out of me. You familiar spirits of fear, I put the blood of Jesus against you. Children, in the name of Jesus, I command the heaviness to leave me. I command anxiety attempts to go. In Jesus' name, I command worry to leave me. You're a liar, devil.
Loosen us. Let us go. I command you to come out of these ladies. Come out of us. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Leave these women. I command you to go. All fear must go. It has to go. All the personalities of fear must go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the holy name of Jesus. Keep praising him, ladies. Come on, don't. You might stop short of what God has for you this morning. Don't do it. Come on, get excited. Get happy. Let it go. Command you to go. We command you to go. We command you to leave our home. Leave our house. Leave our children. In the name of Jesus. We command fear of death to go. We command the fear of the future to leave us. We're not going to fear what the devil brings upon this land. Hallelujah. We command fear us by being under controlling people. Lord, release us from the controlling spirit through our loved ones. Break that power. Loosen some of these ladies from controlling pastors, Father, in Jesus' name. Break the soul tie to dead churches. If you're in a dead church, you better run for your life. Get out of it. Get out of it now. Get into a place where the Spirit of God is there. If you don't, you'll die with them. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Deliver us. Deliver us. Deliver us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I pray, God, a holy boldness in these ladies. I pray a confidence they've never had before. I pray a boldness, Father. I pray a mighty power of a warrior spirit would be birthed in them this morning in the name of Jesus. That they will seize the moment, God. Bind the work of your Holy Spirit around these ladies, God. Write it on the tablets of their hearts. It will not depart from them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Take a deep breath. Breathe in the Spirit of God. Breathe in Zoe life. Breathe in boldness. Breathe in a fire of God. Breathe it in. Breathe it in. Breathe it in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We receive that river of life, Lord. We receive your Holy Spirit. Where there's been an emptying out, Father, this weekend, fill us with your life. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, some of these ladies are going to be able to feel your spirit, your presence in a new way, Father. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We praise you. We thank you for your peace and your love, God. We thank you for directing the steps of these ladies, God. We thank you for opening doors for them. We thank you, Lord, for stirring those gifts of God within them, Lord, and using them for the kingdom of God, that they can seize the moment. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. These spirits are going to probably leave you all through the day. If you yawn, cough, just, and if you're driving home, say, I command you to go. I command you to go. Some of you could have a legion. Who knows in you? Where, how in the world could that fit in me? Well, they do. They do. You know, I sometimes yawn a lot when I get deliverance. Some of you cough. You know, don't do it because, you know, I mean, whatever happens, God will show you how to. But trust the Lord that as you leave this camp, things you've been taught will continue to leave you. And then I personally ask the Lord to fill me every day with His Holy Spirit. Even Jesus would go up into the mountains to get away by himself, to be refreshed and be refilled. And we need to do that because, you know, you get low on fuel, you get burnt out. And when you get burnt out, you get out of commission. You've got to be revived and refreshed. Amen. I want you to have a seat just for a moment. And we're going to... One thing, I hope this is okay, but I've asked Jack to come. And I want him... just to share a little bit, but he's going to wants to pray for the ladies. And I just want you to open your heart.
Jack has such a heart, I guess seeing me so bound for so many years, and he's got a real compassion for women to be healed and set free. And the Lord has really given him a revelation and a gift of blessing. And I want you to go ahead, Jack, if you will.
I read a story one time not too long ago, and I never had a father growing up. I never saw my father, or I never laid eyes on my father. Some of you know that, but and so when I began to move out in ministry, he began to put the mantle of a father on me and told me to go father his people. And I didn't know how to do that because I didn't have anybody to show me how to do that. And it's not an age thing; it's a spirit thing. And I believe that we're going to do this. I'm going to pray for you here in a few minutes, and your life's going to be different. I know it is. But a lot of your blockages that you receive is because of this area, and we're going to take the cap off this morning, and so the Lord can begin to deposit into you some more anointing, some Holy Ghost, and some of y'all that need it, some healing in your lives that some of you need. And I know this is a key factor for some of you this morning, maybe not all of us. I read a story about a pastor one time that had an infant boy, and he was just praying. He said, "Father, I just want to thank you for my son. I love him so much. You blessed me with this precious child. It's just an infant, and he's holding him and thanking the Lord like this little girl right here. Just thanking him for the son." And God spoke to his heart and says, "Well, why do you love him so much?" He thought for a second, and then the Lord says, "Do you love him because of all he can do for you?" He said, "No. All he does for me is keep me up all night and mess his pants." He said, "Well, why do you love him so?" He said, "I love him because he's mine." He said, "That's the way I feel about you. I love you just because you're mine. No performance offerings. You don't have to do anything. You're his." You see. Stand to your feet today. I want you all to come down here and move this out. Can we move this, sister? Somebody move this out over there. Just move it over there. Yes. I want everyone to come up here real quick. For some of you this morning, it's going to be a breakthrough in your lives. I know it. Feel it in my spirit. I just know it for sure. Move up close so they can make room for everyone. I do this because there's an anointing on a platform that sometimes just, I like to get a hold of that and be in that presence. Put number 10 on there, Dan. Play it real low. Just push the play button. It should be ready. The one on your right there. There you go. Bring it down some. Okay. I want you to close your eyes, if you would. Just between you and the Lord. Can we do that? Now, some of you had some wonderful, wonderful relationships with your parents. And I applaud you for that, but a lot of us haven't. And if this doesn't seem to apply to you, then go through the motions with us, if you would, anyway. And pray for those around us. But close your eyes and just kind of picture your father, if you could, in your mind's eye. Can you do that for me? For some of you, it might not be a pleasant thing. Some of you, it would be a joyful thing. But look at your father's face right now with your eyes closed. Concentrate on yourself. And I want you to say these words. And say it. If you have to say it, please do say them. Say it out loud. Say, "Dad, I forgive you. I forgive you for not being there for me. I forgive you for not protecting me. I forgive you for abandoning me, not being there when I needed you. I charge not this sin against you, Dad. I release you to the hands of the Savior. Now, Father God, come and father me. I need you, Dad. I need a father. And I know your spirit and your word can follow me in Jesus' name." Say, "I bless my dad. I turn him over to you today." Yeah, just Now I want to do something else for you this morning. I want to put a blessing of a father on you. Some of you have been stagnant most all your life. And this is why. And this is not a repercussion against dads. We're not here to hammer fathers at all. I'm here to say to you, there's an element that we can get a hold of this morning as a father blesses his child. I'm going to bless you as a father to a daughter this morning. I'm going to bless God to touch everything you touch to be blessed. I want you to put your mind over your eyes, if you could. Put your hands over your head, your mind. Both hands on top of your head. Mess your hair up. Go ahead. Yes. I'm going to pray for you. Father God, right now, I ask you to release these minds from all the busyness, all the traffic, Father God, all this traffic I command to be ceased, all this busyness. I command every spirit, every tormenting spirit, even in the night hours, even those six demons that torment in the night hours, I command them to loose her mind right now in Jesus' name. Release these minds today, Father. Release their minds in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I ask you to renew these minds with the word of the living God. I speak blessings on these minds. I speak new thoughts. I speak creativity. I bless these minds as a father to a daughter today. God, I command all cells of the mind to return to normal. I ask you, Father God, to bless every cell, every mind cell in the head today, Father God. All that has been damaged by whatever reason, Father, I take authority as a father this morning, and I ask you to bless these minds in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now put your hands over your ears. And this is going to be difficult for some of y'all. But today, Lord, keep your eyes closed. I want you to focus on yourself. Today, Lord, I release every ear here from all verbal abuse. Every unkind word spoken, Father, I release it today. All hatred, all words of destruction, I cancel their assignment today. I release them out of these ears today. They will have no... I change the course of these ladies' destiny today. And I cancel every word spoken into these ears that would cause them to pull away from God's perfect will for their life. I cancel that assignment today in the name of Jesus. It will not have an effect on them any longer. It is dead today. I speak life into these ears. I speak prosperity and blessings to these ears. I bless these ears to hear what the Word of God is saying to them. I speak to these ears. They can hear what the Spirit of God is saying to direct their family and their lives, God. In Jesus' name, I bless them. Amen. And put your hands over your eyes. Now say these words. Say, Father, forgive me for everything that these eyes have gazed upon that was unholy. Cleanse my eyes. Release me from the sin of perverted gaze. In Jesus' name. Now let me pray. Father, I bless these eyes. I ask you, Father God, to heal and restore these eyes, strengthen these eyes, God, in Jesus' name. I bless these eyes. They can see clearly the direction they're to go. They can see in the Spirit and the living God's in the direction they call them to go, Father God. They begin to see the Word of God with revelation, knowledge, and strength and power. And God, their eyes will be illuminated to a new dimension, Father God, in Jesus' name. I bless these eyes. I bless these eyes. Put your hand over your eye or your mouth. Say, Father, forgive these lips for every word of destruction that has come from them. I confess it as sin. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. Today, cleanse me of gossiping, backbiting, and slander. Perversion. Release my lips today in Jesus' name. Let me pray. Father, I bless these lips. I bless these lips. I bless you. Let me pray. I bless these lips for these ladies, Father God. I bless it in praise and in prayer, Father God. I say that every word from his lips to be a sweet savor to those around him, Father God. They'll speak blessings to those, God. They'll begin to have a new anointing in their lips, God. A kind word, turn away wrath, Father God. We ask you that you give them new words and give them a new language, Father God. Even the Holy Ghost language, Father God, that will purify. And we put a cold to the lips today, Father God. And we ask you to burn in the living God in these lips, God. They'll begin to move forth the power and anointing in Jesus' name. Raise your hands now, sisters. Father, I bless these hands. I bless these hands in prayer and praise. I bless these hands. Some of you women this morning, you have new touch. You're going to be touching people And it's going to be a new touch. You're going to touch your husbands, and it's going to soothe the rage in them. You're going to touch your children, and it's going to calm them down. You're going to be able to have a new touch. I bless these hands. I bless these hands of creativity, God. I bless them, I bless them, I bless them. I bless these hands. Amen. And lift your feet up and down. Your feet up and down. Amen. Amen. I bless these feet, because these feet carry the good news. Amen. These feet carry the good news. I bless them. I bless their coming and their going, Father God. Everywhere they put their feet, God, I ask them to be a blessing, God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let's just praise them for a while, can we? Yeah, sister. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. There's some of you today that have been involved and have been in incest. If some of you have been molested and been involved in incest, I take authority over that curse upon your life right now and a violation. And I take authority over that. I release you from all mental, all insanity in your bloodline. I command your mind to be normal. I release you today from that power of that incest and the effects of it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now some of you, if not all of you, but some of you, I'm going to release you from something that I feel is a real stronghold on a lot of people. It's called an ecclesiastical curse. There's a lot of ministries, a lot of pastors and different ministries hurt people. There's a lot of people giving false words. They're just psychic prayers and their own inspiration. And I'm going to release you from those. That which is God will remain. But those that aren't God, I'm going to ask you to God to release you from every... So you can be able to feel free to go worship God where you come. I will never tie anybody out of my church. They go where God tells them to go. And God, I ask you right now, Father God, to release these precious women from any and all ecclesiastical curse. Those from clergy, Father God, who brings them under the claw and tries to tie them down and put a lid on them, not a covering, but a lid. And we take the lid off of them today in the name of Jesus. We take the lid off of them today. They can begin to worship God in spirit and truth. They might stay where they're at, but they're going to stay there because of freedom. They're not going to stay there because of containment. And I release them today in Jesus' name. Release them today. Yeah, my sister Carol. Yeah, so you've been carrying guilt for a long time, baby. It's a false guilt. It's a guilt that you're not responsible for. And you've been a scapegoat for most all your life here. And I ask you today, Father, you cancel that scapegoat off of her. She is not a scapegoat. I cancel that assignment off of her today in Jesus' name. And I command guilt to come off of her. I command guilt to come off of her in Jesus' name. Release her right now. Yes, Lord. Yes, so Sister Mary, that person we talked about last night, remember we talked about it, you want a prayer for that person. Well, the Lord began to show me that he needed affirmation from his father. He never got the affirmation from his father, and he had a controlling mother, and that's going to stop right now. And God, we stand in proxy for that individual right now, God, and we ask you to release him. We affirm him, Father God. You show him your love toward this man, God. You can begin to affirm him and let him know that he's wanted by the kingdom, Father God. And God, we ask you how to release him from all that spirit of control, Father God. Any domination, it might have been subtle, but it was still there. And it could have even been from the bloodline there, but it's on the mother's side. And we ask you to release her right now from the effects of it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Just praise him for what? Dan, play that tape again. Yeah. Let's just praise him for a second. Okay. Take a deep breath. Feel better. Yes, Jesus. Yes. Yes. Yes, Jesus. Yes. Where's the sister we're going to pray for this morning at? Glenn, you want to pray for a sister here? Bring her up here and we can do that. Yes. Let's muster our faith. Carol, won't you come up here with us and pray for this precious lady?
Jesus Christ, Father, we curse the works of darkness. We curse this curse that's been brought up on her mind and her brain cells. In the name of Jesus, we take the authority and that has been given to us by Jesus, and we take a dominion and authority over this curse of Alzheimer's in the name of Jesus. We break that satanic power. You're a thief, devil. We command the tentacles of hell to come off of her in the name of Jesus. Come off of her. Come out of her. I command you to leave her. I command you to let her go. Let these cells of this brain go in the name of Jesus. Come out of her. Leave her. I command insanity to go. I break the curse on this bloodline. I put the blood of Jesus over it in the name of Jesus. Let her go. I command you to go. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. I break that power, you devil. Come out of her. I command you to let her go. Father, I ask you, Lord, right now, God, complete deliverance. Break every curse that she's inherited, God. Release her, Father, from every curse over her mind, God. Release her from every curse, God. Release her from the curse of insanity, God. I break that power. You spirit of insanity, you come out of her. I put the blood of Jesus against you, and I command you to be broken in the name of Jesus. Break every curse, God, from a childhood, God. Release her, Lord. We put the blood of Jesus over her right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We break that curse, God, of even bestiality in this bloodline. We put the blood of Jesus over that in Jesus' name. Of every sin, God, that's been committed, every base sin, we put the blood of Jesus. And we break that power. We loosen her right now. We loosen her. Loosen her. Come out of her. I command you to loosen her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Take all hurt and bitterness out of her, God. I pray, God, that you take every root of bitterness out of her heart, God. I pray, Father God, that you take any hate, the Father, that's been from years ago out of her heart, God. I pray, Lord, that the love of God would flood her soul. I pray that you would flood her mind and her soul, her spirit, Lord, this day in Jesus' name. Father, we pray over these brain cells. We command brain cells to come alive. We speak resurrection to this brain in the name of Jesus. We command every dead cell in this brain, we command you to come alive in resurrection power. Lord, you said that the same spirit that raised Christ's body from the dead dwells within us. And we command resurrection into that brain cells right now. Restoration in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. God, that she'll have a sound mind, God. She'll have a clarity of mind, God. And Lord, that she will live out every day that you've ordained and not be held captive by Satan. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, brother. Oh, yeah. Bless this husband. God, I pray, Lord, he's carried quite a burden on him, Lord. And at times he didn't know if he could go on. But I'm asking today, Lord, that you lift that burden off of him. I pray, God, that you take the grief out of him, Lord, and even the feeling of hopelessness, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, right now, God, even the questions that he's had, even towards you, God, the doubting, why, God, why would this happen, Lord, I ask that you just heal him today and let the love of God fill his emotions, his spirit, his very soul. I pray, God, that you give him strength for the length of each day. And I break the demonic power that's even tried to take him out prematurely, Lord. He's lived a long life. But I pray, God, the day you take him, he'll be dancing and running for the kingdom of God and the cause of Christ. And I'm asking, God, that all grief would go out of him, Lord. And I lift that burden off of him in the name of Jesus. I lift it up. I command weakness to go out of your brother. And I bind every demon and evil spirit in that house. I bind the demonic tormentors in Jesus' name. And I command that stronghold over that neighborhood and over that house to come down. I pull down the strongholds of hell, of sickness and infirmity and disease to come off of that home and to come off of that neighborhood in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the death that's come into that neighborhood in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fill him up today, God. Fill him with your Holy Spirit. Fill him, God. Take the fear out of him, God, I pray in Jesus' name. And fill him with strength and power and might. Hallelujah. And the love of God. Let the love of God fill him, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Rebuke that devil. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. We'll get it. We'll get it. Here's your prayer. Is this your prayer? keep it on her. Heavenly Father, because of your word, I forbid any sickness and disease from operating in my body. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Body, I am speaking to you, and I charge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the authority of his holy word to be healed and made whole in Jesus' name. That which God has not planted is dissolved and is rooted out in Jesus' name. He puts that on her all everywhere she goes. Proclaim the works of the Holy Ghost. You feel it. Pour it in. Pour it in. Pour it in. Bless her. Bless her. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. I've been fighting this for years and years.
You have, brother.
I've been.
Irma's back is bothering her, low back and legs. She fell down the stairs. So we're going to ask God to heal her. In the name of Jesus. Let's stretch out your hands to Sister Irma. She needs prayer. Father, we pray for Sister Irma right now in the name of Jesus. First of all, we ask that you forgive her for hurting her back. Forgive her for falling down them stairs and hurting the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we put the blood of Jesus over that open door. And we ask you, God, to bind every spirit that's wrapped around that lower back, that's wrapped around that spinal column in the name of Jesus Christ. We command this disease and degeneration to leave her in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask and Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would create, Father, this spacing. That you would create a cushion between those discs, those vertebrae in the name of Jesus. I ask that you release her from every curse that's on her body. I pray, God, that every bitter person that has cursed her, that has cloaked her with bitterness, that has cloaked her with hatred, that has cloaked her with unforgiveness, that has cloaked her with judgment, I command that power to come off of her in the name of Jesus. I command that power to be broken in Jesus' name. I command it to lift off of her. I command the words of bitterness to come out of her mind. I command the words that have been spoken in bitterness because she's been under this power to be broken in the name of Jesus. I ask God right now for healing of her mind, God, of her memory, God, that her long memory and short memory will be good and healthy, God. Her recall will be good in the name of Jesus. I command the brain cells to be functioning. I command them to come alive in the name of Jesus. I command the years of tiredness and weariness to be washed away by the blood of Jesus. I command mental blocks to be broken in Jesus' name. I ask you, Lord, to do a deep work within her today, within her spirit, within her soul, God, that you would restore the joy of serving you, God. I pray that the joy of the Lord will be her strength, God, that she'll begin to leap and walk again, God, that she'll begin to laugh again, Father, that the joy will begin to bubble up and the fire of God bubble up within her, God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We lift that power off of her, God, that has contained her, that's made her go, her health be weakened. I commanded her mind to be weakened. We rebuke you, and we break your hold and your bend in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, I ask that you heal her of all hurts and wounds. I ask you, Lord, of all the disappointments, we just gather them in a bag today and lay them at the feet of Jesus. And I'm asking that you heal her. I ask even that you heal her of the grief of leaving her home in California, God. Lord, she gave up a lot for the kingdom of God. And Lord, you promised us, God, that you would restore. And I believe that, Lord, you have a great mansion for her. Lord, someday when she lives in heaven for eternity. But I'm asking that you take the grief out of her, God. And take any root that's been hidden there, Lord, in her heart that would cause her, Lord, to even long for those days in California. God, we can't look back, God. We got to look forward. I ask you to take all that out. Lord, with grief comes bitterness sometimes. And I ask you to take bitterness out of her, God. I pray that you give her the eyes of the Lord, God, that she can see beyond people's faults and see their need and pray with a word and their will be done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God. We command it all to go. We take out every spirit out of her soul. Every spirit out of her soul. We root it out. We root it out, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. We take it out. We kick every knife out of her back of betrayal, God. We loosen her now. We set her free from everything of the past, God. Hallelujah. And I pray for that the blood of Jesus would flow through her body, soul, spirit, and mind, would wash and cleanse and refresh and renew, Lord, and that she can feel like she's a spring chicken again, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, Lord, the joy of the Lord, we speak that into her heart. We speak it into her, Lord. Let the will of God bubble up. Oh, glory to God. You bless her. Continue to bless her, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the name of Jesus. Well, let's give the Lord. Do we have any more prayers? Praise God. Let's praise the Lord. Let's give him. Do you want to have something to say?
Version, you have to go to Christians or Chicken Soup for the Christian Soul. And maybe some of you have read that book. But the short version is there was a minister that that felt like he'd given his all and he had no more. And he was on the road and with his wife and children in a van, and he felt like there was no more. He didn't feel the presence of God in his life. And he said, God, I don't even know if you know if I'm doing anything good for you anymore. I don't even know, you know, if I'm in your work and your plan. What's going on here? If you're hearing me, I need a word from you. I need to hear. I have a sign or something. Well, the children, I think they were grown children. They said, oh, there's a pizza place. I think it was Columbus, Ohio, or something like that, which is where near my son lives, and so it caught my interest. And let's stop for pizza. Well, the father, the minister, didn't feel led to go have pizza, so the mother and the children went in and had pizza. And so he got out of the van and was kind of walking around, and the phone booth rang. The phone in the phone booth rang. Well, nobody answered it. So he went and answered it. And it was an operator, and I'll give him the name of John Smith. I don't remember what his name was. And what was it? Well, whatever they're saying, that's what his name was. And he said, and they, I think it was like a person-to-person call to this man. And for Ken Paul? Gobb. Ken Gobb. And it was a woman who was calling for Ken Gobb. But she thought she was reading his meeting, or reaching his address, his phone number out in California. And he couldn't believe that this person-to-person call to him was happening, because he's not in California, and how could somebody be reaching him in a phone booth in Columbus, Ohio? And so anyway, this woman was desperate, and she really needed Ken Gobb, who she believed was who God was going to use to minister to her and to bring forth healing to her. She was thinking of committing suicide. So while he was getting over the shock and composing himself, he ministered to her and helped her to pray and to get her life back. That no, she wasn't going to take her life, and she was going to get on with God. But she thought she was talking to him out in California. And he says, no, I'm in a phone booth in Columbus. But anyway, when his wife and children came out of the pizza place, he said, honey, God knows right where I am. And what keeps coming to me is we have been really, really blessed here. I don't know how much more we could be blessed from all the speakers and what the Lord has shared in their hearts to share with us. But now we're going home to a different reality. And from that story, I want to say, it's not a phone booth, you know, but God knows right where we are. He knows we're leaving this place, but He's going to know whatever we face back home. And we do have something to do, and He's going to be there right with us. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, there's a chorus that goes like this. Shout, shout. We're gaining ground. Satan's kingdom is coming down. Hallelujah. Yeah. Shout, shout. Let's see. Let's put it up and see. Shout, shout. We're gaining ground. Glory, hallelujah. Satan's kingdom is coming down. Glory, hallelujah. Let's stand and sing that. Shout, shout, we're gaining ground. Glory, hallelujah. Satan's kingdom is coming down. Glory, hallelujah. My soul today has found new fire. Glory, hallelujah. The kingdom of God is drawing nigh. Glory, hallelujah. Shout, shout. We're gaining ground. Glory, hallelujah. Satan's kingdom is coming down. Glory, hallelujah. Okay, let's shout it. Shout, shout. We're gaining ground. Glory, Satan's kingdom is coming down. Glory, hallelujah. Let's do it again. Shout, shout, we're gaining ground. Glory, hallelujah. Satan's kingdom is coming down. Glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.